This is Scotty Reed with a Black Talk Radio News Report. Speaking with me today is Cindy of Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, which is helping to organize a noise demonstration in Brooklyn, New York on May 20th, 2017 at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. That's on a Saturday. Thank you for joining us, Cindy.
Thank you so much for having me, Scotty. I really appreciate it.
I would like to go over some of the issues highlighted on flyers that are being circulated in support of this noise demonstration, which is for the Bronx 120 and all MDC prisoners. For those who do not live in New York City, what is the MDC?
Yeah, so the MDC is the Metropolitan Detention Center, and it's a federal prison run by the Bureau of Prisons that houses people who are in federal pretrial, as well as people who are in on immigration charges. And it also houses a number of people who are on charges for who are targeted by the war on terror. So it's both male and female people who are incarcerated there.
Sounds like to me that these are people who are in fact innocent until proven guilty. It sounds like pretrial detention.
The large majority are pretrial detention. That's correct. So, yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell us who is the Bronx 120?
Yes, the Bronx 120 are a group of mostly young men and a few young women who were incarcerated beginning on April 27th of 2016. So we just had the one-year anniversary a little less than a month ago. They were arrested on quote-unquote gang charges. They were arrested in the middle of the night. Many people taken out of their homes, some people taken from college, other people taken from facilities upstate where they were already serving time. And they were arrested by seven different agencies, federal and local, with over 700 officers. And they're right now, so they're arrested on gang charges, quote-unquote gang charges, under the RICO Act, meaning that many of them aren't even charged of specifically committing a crime, but just having known people who committed a crime. So it's a really dangerous precedent. There have been a few more raids like this in the city in the last year. And right now, many of these young people are being sentenced, and we're looking at people who are facing anywhere from 3 to 10 years, again, for not even being charged with committing a crime, but simply for knowing people who are charged with committing crime.
Let's go over some of the issues highlighted on flyers for the noise demonstration. One is the excessive use of solitary confinement. Can you give us some examples?
Sure. Well, I first want to say that Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee is a prison abolitionist group, and we believe that all prisons are excessive. There shouldn't be any prisons, no prison slavery at all, period, anywhere in the world. And furthermore, any use of solitary confinement is cruel, unusual, and excessive. However, Metropolitan Detention Center uses solitary confinement to an extent that is excessive, even what it seems like by prison standards. So what we've seen is people being, I mean, we know some people who are put in solitary every few weeks without a clear decision, a clear understanding of why or what caused that. We know people, friends of ours, who are put in solitary confinement. One young person who was put in sentenced to solitary confinement for a year, which according to the United Nations is torture. We know people who are put, we've had one young person who was put in solitary confinement, we believe because he was getting to know other people who were incarcerated and sharing political information with them. Of course, they wouldn't say that, but he had done nothing else, and there was, they said that they needed to separate him from people, from other people. He was also moved to a different facility. So these are just, oh, and also the things that happen in solitary confinement at MDC are quite extreme, even by prison standards. We know that people have been tear gassed while in solitary confinement. They use torture practices such as leaving the lights on for 24 hours in solitary confinement. One person had rubber bullets shot into their cell, chained to the floor of the cell. So as if solitary confinement weren't torture enough, we know that at MDC they engage in further practices of torture and excessive force.
In addition to what you just spoke about, solitary confinement and the tear gassing, can you share some other examples of torture and abuse that prisoners and their families are alleging?
Yeah, well, for example, right now, unless it's changed in the last couple of hours, people at MDC are living there without any air conditioning. And for people who aren't in New York, it's been over 90 degrees for the last 3 days. Now, Metropolitan Detention Center is a city prison. It's an urban prison. All prisons tend to have poor air quality and circulation, but at least have windows and some outdoor space. MDC does not have this. There is one area that is a quote-unquote yard, but it's up on the eighth floor, and it's just a grated hallway. And that's just for a small amount of rec time, which, again, if you're in solitary, you don't get, generally. And other than that, there's no open windows, very, very poor ventilation and circulation. And the temperatures in there, we can only imagine what they are right now. So that's something that prisoners are facing. And we've been calling, family members have been calling, attorneys have been calling, and they still have yet to address. They've also turned off the ice machines, or the ice machines have broken and they haven't provided alternatives. Other examples are that simple things that seem simple but are actually quite important, like they've taken away at different times vending machines from the visiting room. And for anyone who has a loved one in prison, you know that the vending machines and being able to buy food that your loved one wouldn't normally be able to get in prison is quite a big deal. Sometimes it might be the only non-prison food if someone isn't able to afford commissary or is restricted from commissary that they might be able to have during that whole week. Family members have their loved ones moved from prison to prison without any notice. Prisoners are moved without any notice. I mean, really, I could go on and on. The disciplinary measures are quite extreme and seem very arbitrary. Again, people end up in solitary or with tickets with no seeming notice. There's an extreme lack of ability to move, have fresh air, or anything like that.
Now, you mentioned some of the unsafe and unhealthy conditions, but also listed on the flyers are poor conditions for visitors, including punitive restrictions on families. Can you give us an example of a punitive restriction placed on a family of a prisoner?
Yeah. So primarily what that means is that prisoners will be restricted from making phone calls or having visitation with their families. Some people, again, we know people who have been restricted from any contact with their family besides letters, and at times even having letters, regular letters in the mail, restricted for upwards of a year. And this is, you know, to me, this is such an extreme form of torture to prisoners and their families in this way. You're already living with someone that you love behind bars, unreachable, you know, and again, this is a pretrial, so for instance, most people have no idea how long their loved ones will be taken away from them. And again, as you said, they're not that anyone should be in prison, even if they are proven guilty in a false court of law supported by capitalism and white supremacy. But even still, these are people who haven't even gone through any due process, and they're potentially being restricted from having any communication with their loved ones for very long periods of time. And the BOP and the MDC explicitly uses this as a form of discipline against prisoners who they believe have done something wrong.
I would also like you to speak on concerns being raised about the lack of medical and mental health care. You just touched on denial of due process, but specifically it's mentioned the denial of due process for disciplinary actions. And you've already talked to us about the access to light and outdoors. But can you speak to the issue of lack of medical and mental health care and the denial of due process for the disciplinary actions, I assume, like placing someone in solitary confinement?
Absolutely. So first, medical and mental health. It's very difficult to get access to any kind of mental or medical health care. We have family members who have reached out asking for mental health care and been told that we've been told when someone we know has requested this and we've heard from them that they haven't received any visits from any psychiatrist or psychologist or any mental health support, we've been told, oh, a psychiatrist visits once a week or something like that, and they're definitely getting the care. But then when we've seen the actual Bureau of Prisons mental health records for people that did eventually end up getting care, we find that they didn't receive anything at all. No visits, no mental health attention. And this is for, you know, people who are really struggling, you know, maybe even suicidal, while they're in prison and really begging for help. In terms of medical care, we've just heard too many stories mentioned of people who have had some kind of medical problem, whether it be asthma or an injury, injured back, eye problems, and begging and begging to seek medical care and not having their needs met. And in terms of due process, you know, we're not inside, but we have had people who we know who are in contact with, family members, loved ones, who have been put in solitary confinement for no reason. And we've asked to be provided with a ticket, and we've been denied access to the tickets, and the family members, the people inside themselves, have not had tickets. And that is a requirement that you face a disciplinary proceeding, you're supposed to be given a formal writing of this that you can send to your lawyer or family or anyone else. And we have, you know, requested this many times, and, you know, maybe someone from DOP is listening and they're hearing this. And if that's true, then you say that you are, you know, doing a due process, and we have seen absolutely no evidence of this despite demanding it many times.
Cindy, you may or may not be aware that there is an upcoming march on Washington, D.C. on August the 19th called Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March to highlight the human rights abuses that prisoners face today in the United States. Organizers of the upcoming march have declared themselves part of a new abolitionist movement to end slavery in the 21st century and compare the conditions that we see in prisons to the conditions of the victims of chattel slavery, and that chattel slavery is in fact codified by the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, making it a legal practice through the criminal courts, both federal and state. Would you say their view is accurate?
Yeah, we do know about the August 19th march, and we're hoping to participate here as well. And I 100% and Incarcerated Workers Organization 100% agrees that slavery is alive and well. And in fact, in many places, it even looks exactly the way that chattel slavery looked before the supposed abolition. So, of course, as you just said, and as we know, there was no real abolition of slavery. There are places in the South where prisoners will labor under the hot sun on farms, on plantations. And even in New York, there are farms. Now, of course, just because chattel slavery in the U.S. South in the past used to look like plantations, that doesn't mean that there aren't other forms of slavery now. And we see that all over the prison system in New York State, absolutely. People are doing all kinds of industrial work, doing welding, mostly producing products for the prison system itself and for the court system, in what is a really sick use of prison slave labor. And even in places where prisoners aren't producing themselves, it's still slavery-like conditions, and people have no capacity for freedom for themselves. They're completely under the foot of the law, behind bars. And we liken the gang raids, in fact, to the slave catching of the pre-Civil War era, because these agencies, local police, federal agencies, ICE, will go into communities and steal mostly black and brown young men from their houses and put them into slavery, thereby feeding the prison slaves. So, in short, yeah, we absolutely agree that slavery is alive and well in the U.S.
Cindy, I want to thank you for speaking with Black Talk Radio News. Before you leave us, do you have any final comments you would like to make to our audience?
Just to thank you so much, Scotty, and thank you, Black Talk Radio, for having me on and for having I Walk On so often. We really appreciate it. And just that we hope that if you are in New York, it'll come out tomorrow, May 20th, 2:30 p.m. The address is 28th Street and 2nd Avenue. It's Metropolitan Detention Center, and that's in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. And also, if anyone has any family members who are incarcerated, you can reach us at iwoc.nyc@riseup.net. One last quick thing. We are currently fighting a proposal that's happening in New York State prisons to restrict packages that prisoners receive. So if you're a family member of someone in prison, or if you're in prison, you can get in contact with us. Last thing I'll say real fast is our address, in case you are incarcerated or don't have access to email. It's P.O. Box 721-1132 Southern Boulevard, Bronx, New York, 10459.
And they should address it to IWOC?
Exactly, to IWOC.
Thank you for speaking to us, Cindy.
Thank you so much, Scotty, and thank you, Black Talk Radio.
This has been Scotty Reed with a Black Talk Radio News Report. If you would like to participate in the noise demonstration, it will begin at 2:30 p.m. at the corner of 28th Street and 2nd Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. I would also like to remind you to support the nonprofit media work of the Black Talk Media Project by making a donation today.